Hello, hello. Welcome to Pod Bless Texas. I'm Lillian Salerno here with my friend Kendall Scudder.
Hi, how are you?
And we have our special guest this week, our friend and chef extraordinaire and food editor and contributing whatever.
Dottie Griffith, good to see you. I'm so thrilled to be. Am I the first foodie on Pod Bless?
Well,
Texas.
I mean, we obviously eat a lot.
We clearly eat a lot.
Okay, but I think I'm your first foodie guest.
I think you are.
Yes,
that's pretty exciting.
For our inaugural episode of season 5.
Season 5. Did you think we'd make it this far, Lily?
I absolutely did not.
Well, I knew it from the get-go when I heard the first one. So there.
Dottie, for people who don't know who you are, what is your background for folks that are listening?
Well, okay. Well, I am a food writer. I worked for the Dallas Morning News for many years as food editor and restaurant critic. And I've written a dozen cookbooks and done some radio and television food work. But before, the little known thing, before I was
a
food
girl
editor.
From Terrell, Texas.
No, I was a food editor. Before I was a food editor, I actually covered politics for the Dallas Morning News.
I didn't know that.
I didn't
yes,
know
so
that.
I've always been a political junkie
oh,
as well.
Right? Okay.
And everybody goes, so why did you switch from covering politics to food? Well, more people eat than vote. A lot more readers.
What can I say?
Especially in Texas. Yeah. We eat a lot, but do we vote a lot? Hopefully
that
we'll
is
start.
So much fun. And you are one of our favorite people, and you are from Terrell, Texas.
Terrell,
right?
Texas.
My neck of the woods.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a little east there.
Uh-huh. When I first came into your house, you have all of these, like, mounted antlers and taxidermy animals because you're a big hunter.
Well, and my family's always been big hunters. Not all of this is mine, but it's come from my family.
And we're at your place. It made me feel like I was at home.
So the antlers we're looking at with this chandelier are probably from somebody.
Oh,
well.
Those are all antlers from my father's mule deer hunts in Colorado.
Okay.
He and a bunch of his brother and a bunch of guys from Terrell used to go up to Colorado and hunt mule deer. And I mean, they'd be gone for 10 days at a time. They'd ride horses up and establish a base camp and, you know, do it up the right way.
What is it about Terrell, Texas? Whenever you find somebody from Terrell, Texas, they're just like storytellers. They're like the storytellers.
Well, there's a little more to do there now, but there didn't used to be nothing else to do. If you couldn't tell a story, you didn't have any friends.
Okay, before we start talking about, I mean, this is the first episode. We haven't had an episode in like 2 months. People are having a really hard time with the news of what happened this week, and we'll certainly get into that. I just kind of want to give everybody a break for a second. Let's go back and talk about when you used to cover politics for the Dallas Morning News.
It was in charge.
Is there a story or a thing that you particularly remember covering?
Well, you know, I covered...
Was that when, like, Jim Maddox was in charge?
Yeah, Jim Maddox was running around, and I do remember when...
Ann Richards?
No, I think I was maybe gone from the beat before then, but the really bad guy from Georgia that was running for president, that was in the wheelchair. Where's my brain?
You mean George Wallace from
George
Alabama?
George Wallace from Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember I was stuck on one of his campaign planes hopping around the state. And
it's probably tragic.
It was get out, get him in the wheelchair. And his wife would stand behind him and roll her eyes every time he opened his fat mouth. And I was just aghast, you know.
What came out of his mouth?
Well, I was aghast at what came out of his mouth, but that was pretty predictable. Less predictable that his wife was not pleasant and was, you know, why did they keep hauling her around if she was not going to be on the ball? Kind of. I guess it's sort of reminiscent of Melania and the hand slap.
So did you actually meet George Wallace when you
were
covering?
Oh, yeah.
Got any stories there? George Wallace, for those who may not know.
I didn't hang out with George a lot, yeah.
George Wallace, for those who may not know, was the governor of Alabama that stood in front of the schoolhouse and
Segregation
to,
now,
refused
segregation
to desegregate
today,
schools.
Segregation forever, and then was shot in an assassination attempt and confined to a wheelchair for his last big run at the presidency.
Yeah.
And supposedly put on a hell of a rally.
He could put on a rally. You know,
sure could get those Klansmen all up and rolling.
Well,
it might have been what Donald Trump was looking at.
It's like, you know, it's not unlike some of what we've seen lately. It's just he didn't have a Twitter platform.
God. Well, Lil, where have you been for the last month and a half? What have you? What has the world of Salerno?
Salernoville is. There's a lot of us, and so we're used to congregating, and it's been really hard to get people to back up and not congregate.
Yeah.
And so that is what I've been doing, is trying to, the people that I care about, make sure that I don't see them too often.
That's all you've done.
Went, people know that my kids are associated with the U.S. Embassy in Mexico City, so I went to visit them, and my crazy grandchildren.
My favorite.
Your favorite. The ones who can tear up a room in less than 2 seconds.
For those who may not have listened to the episode a year or a year and a half ago, when Lillian unveiled that her grandchildren wrap their hands around her throat while she's driving down the road. They're real pleasures.
Daredevils. Daredevils.
Yeah, they're awesome. They just have a lot of good energy, and now they're in Mexico City.
A lot of good energy.
And I got to sort of be the person watching the kids, the six-year-old doing her homeschool and working from home, and my daughter and my son-in-law working, and man, what families are having to go through with this pandemic, because these kids in Mexico, no kids are going to school, and I now have every kid needs to be in school, period. I think Biden's going to do that, but I mean, there was a time when the Democrats were playing in the middle there, and we were wrong. We all need to be in school immediately. These kids are suffering. There's irreparable harm going on. Kids in school, kids in school. I don't care what the fuck anybody says. Well, it's the right answer.
It is. And especially for little kids, because learning for them, it's all about the interaction and the peers and all that kind of stuff. But I taught a class in journalism at UNT online at the end of that last semester. And it's the hardest thing I've ever done, the least rewarding thing I've ever done, trying to teach that class. And I mean, it was halfway through the semester before we started the online teaching, so I knew the students, they knew me. I mean, we interacted, but it was just...
I just don't understand where we think this was going to go, but since everybody recognizes scientifically that 90% of communication happens before anybody says a word, that means... when you're a 3 and a 5 year old, you've got so much going on. You need that.
Well,
so I understand the teachers unions and all that, but God damn it, kids are the number one priority, and kids are losing irreparable amount of learning time. And there's many parts in this country where school is the only safe place for these kids. And I've seen enough evidence. The fact that we lost 30,000 kids in New Mexico, they don't know where they are because the schools aren't in session. We have kids posting in Nextdoor apps, can you please go check on my 7-year-olds? They're at home, homeschooled on their own. This is not okay, but I'm totally confident that the Biden administration is going to get their hand on this.
Well, pushing back on that a little bit. I mean,
can, but I don't accept it, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, then we can just move
on. I totally respect teachers for wanting to be safe, too.
Oh, absolutely.
But we know so much more now about transmissibility.
Right.
And I think there are measures that teachers can take to keep themselves safe. And you see all these little kids. Kids have just adopted masks as a way of life. They are so totally down with it and into it. It's just second nature to them.
Almost every faction of my family has COVID right now, and it's only the factions of my family that have kids. Their kids it's out in East Texas where they don't take a lot of precautions, and they're all bringing it in.
Don't take a lot of precautions would seem to be key.
I know, but I'm just saying, my mother's...
Do I need to mask up around you?
I didn't even go to Christmas because everybody's got COVID. Right. And so it's like my mother, that's a whole story, but she's got some children under the age of 10 in her house. They tested positive for COVID. My aunt's got a kid in like elementary school, middle school. He tested positive for COVID. My sister's 5-year-old tested positive for COVID. I mean, like, they're getting it at schools and bringing it in. So what I'm saying is that I hear what you're saying about the importance of these kids being in school, but there's not a plan in place to keep people safe, and you can't trust these school administrators in these areas that aren't taking this seriously.
Okay.
And how are we protecting, you know, that doesn't do anything to prevent the spread of this virus. And I understand we're getting closer, hopefully, to the end with this this vaccine coming out. But sending a bunch of kids
are way up. Teachers are up on the list to get it.
Sending a bunch of kids and teachers into the red zone without taking precautions is not the plan. And there isn't a plan in place to keep people safe. That's the problem.
There is. The Biden administration does have a plan.
Hey, well, then in 15 days, let's revisit the conversation. But like,
we can't get there quick enough. But so I think we're all at the end.
Why is there still, I mean, since you have family who are living in this that atmosphere, why is there still a refusal, a denial to take precautions like masks?
And, I don't know. Because people are stupid.
Well, is it the same kind of a intellectual leaning like what we saw at the Capitol yesterday?
I mean, is it political like for just, them? Like so many people, it became political?
I'm sure it's probably like a comfort thing where it's like, I think I'm immune because I can't see a virus and I'm not going to do it. I don't really know why someone would do it. I mean, Lily and I have told the story before about the middle school principal that we worked the polls with who said that COVID was a hoax and he wasn't going to take any precautions in his school. So like the thing is, it takes one or two people to make bad decisions and they're going to be there. I mean, that's just how the world is right now. And so I just don't think it's responsible to say we're going to throw a bunch of people into a place, period.
We got to throw them in a place with precautions. But, I mean, the precautions right now for every school in Texas is to, I mean, they've got their individualized plans. But, I mean, the mask is part of it. I don't know a school district that doesn't have masks in place. Yeah. Whether they're conforming, but you're right, Dottie, about kids. Kids are wearing those masks. I don't even think about it.
No.
My grandson would just wear a mask all day at this house, and he didn't know any different. He like has it on in the house all day with just us, and I'm like, you don't have to wear that mask. He's just doing it because he just doesn't want to take it off because he knows if he goes outside, he has to wear it. So it's just so without thinking. He's just, they bought in.
Yeah, I think adults put a lot of our stuff on kids.
Yeah.
And they're totally ready to be compliant. Right. Not a problem for them.
And I also think, you know, with the vaccines, I think the teachers are way high on the list. The vaccine stuff looks like a shit show here in Texas because it sort of is. And I think a lot of that has to do with the federal leadership. And I think President Biden and his team will. It's going to straighten a lot of this out. So I'm very, very hopeful. But right now, it's very, very still scary for people.
I mean, we don't even know. I mean, okay, let's transition to what everybody is talking
really about. Really wants to talk about, yeah.
Because it's hard to even talk about coronavirus right now when we have to talk about the fact that the United States Capitol was seized by militants this week.
Militants.
Militants. No, this is just bonkers. I mean, do we even know if Donald Trump's even going to be president? The real crisis here is that they're going to have to redo all of Joe Biden's inauguration stuff. You think they could just print things as 47 in a week? They've been calling him 46 since November. Will Mike Pence get a presidential library for his 1 week in the presidency?
Will it happen? Does anyone
just
think?
A prayer book? He just get a presidential prayer book,
a little hymnal. Golly!
If I had 1 week in the presidency, I would demand a library.
if he gets to be president, then he'll pardon Trump.
Yes,
that's the only thing he'll have time to do as president.
Well, to me, that will be the main motivation for Trump to resign, because there's already the Department of Justice memo that the president can't pardon himself.
Right.
And so he is at some point, I believe, going to get desperate enough to want Pence to pardon him and maybe his crowd of grifter children also.
He called Pence a traitor. Like, why would Pence pardon him? Like, they are publicly feuding now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
I don't
maybe know. Pence would really like to be president for a nanosecond. Maybe,
I'm sure he would. The guy.
Maybe that, you know, well, it's always transactional with Trump. What can you do for me? Mainly, what can you do for me, and I'll do this little bit for you.
So we saw right-wing, not Antifa people, by the way. I love how that was just so quickly the excuse, is that they're all Antifa's cosplaying as MAGA people.
Yeah, uh-huh, right.
But a bunch of Trump supporters raided the United States Capitol and essentially
after being
took
inspired by the president.
After being mm-hmm. rallied by the president to show force. What are your thoughts on that? I know that there's a lot of discussion about the fault of the Capitol Police. Just interested in hearing your thoughts.
It makes me sick to my stomach, but I'm still in shock. I just can't believe it happened, and I can't believe they were able to get in, and there's no way that could have happened without some conspiracy of entry. We now have footage showing police officers letting him in, and just really disturbing, really disturbing.
Well, and I guess the reports that have bothered me the most was that so much of that was planned on Facebook. I mean, out there where any domestic intelligence gathering force should have been able to know what was going on. Plus, there are reporters that are assigned to cover what groups like that are up to. Where were they? It's like it caught not only police and intelligence by surprise, it caught media by surprise. It was like nobody wanted to believe that it could get as bad as it did.
I think they thought it was just talk. I mean, some piece of it, because they asked all federal employees to stay home that day. Mm-hmm. So, my colleagues.
Oh, I wish they'd asked the more police to go to work that day.
Well,
that would have been helpful.
I think Mayor Muriel Bowser from D.C. actually had she's good people. She had a plan in place, and then they denied her coverage. But, I mean, it was just shocking.
The best take I've seen on it was a tweet that said, all of you are asking where the Capitol Police is. It's like asking where Miley is when Hannah Montana's on stage.
Yeah. It's just shocking. I mean, I've been in and out of those buildings so much in my career, and I have been asked to take out my nail file, going through security. I always try to get on the trolley without having the right pass. I mean, you can't get anywhere in there, and they're in these spaces that it's hard for someone to find.
Well, when you
had to tell them where the speaker offices was. You just don't wander into the speaker's office.
Think of the disparate response from law enforcement and military back in the spring when it was Black Lives Matter.
Oh, right.
Or climate change.
Or climate change, or pretty much anything else. Everybody was there ready to go, bing, bang.
To me, what I think is, I admittedly am a bit more of a hawk than most Democrats are, right? I mean, but what bothered me the most is just how weak it made our country look. Like, the fact that someone could that easily overtake the center of American democracy was, I mean, it's, I cannot believe that militants were in the Capitol and only one person got shot. They were shooting rubber bullets at protesters that were and tear gassing them just for walking in the streets.
Yeah.
And someone raids the United States Capitol armed and starts looting it, and we don't even, I mean.
They let a Confederate flag in there.
I know.
The first time a Confederate flag has been flown in the U.S. Capitol.
I don't know. It's just shocking. Complete, you know, investigation, arrests need to be made.
Not only for the people who did it, for the people who incited it, Ted Cruz.
Yes.
Ted Cruz.
Yes.
Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, that Holly guy.
Josh Holly, God. He needs an intervention somewhere.
This is just absolutely outrageous.
All the boys who want to be president.
Love that he lost his big fat Simon & Schuster book contract.
I know, I do. Thank you, Simon & Schuster.
Oh, good
job.
Yeah,
that was good.
It's just shocking to me that even when this happens, the Dems are tiptoeing. Like Nancy said, Nancy Pelosi said yesterday, if you don't invoke the 25th Amendment, we will file impeachment proceedings. Don't, just file them. Just file them. Why are we waiting until next week? Just copy and paste the last ones and add a paragraph and file it. Why is everything so hard and complicated and drawn out for Democrats? It doesn't matter. You've done it before, just do it again.
We do not know how to exercise power.
I know. It's like, we don't. It's like, don't make me stop this car.
Yeah, no, we're so lame on our ability to lead. For some reason, mm-hmm. It's not that Nancy doesn't know how to do it, but I think it's just this muscle memory of not being in charge that we just won't go out there. We need to run. We need to run out there and get D.C. statehood and Puerto Rico and change the trajectory. We need to run out there and pass an infrastructure. We need to run out there and $2,000 checks need to be coming. We need to run out there and do climate stuff. Instead, we're going to sit there. We're going to pussyfoot around. We do that. Why? We have control now. I mean, we're such in a great position to govern, and I just hope Schumer and those folks will get their act together.
With the backdrop of the raid on the Capitol, you'd think they'd have that much more momentum and public approval.
They do seem like they have public support. People are upset.
Yeah, run with that. When you've got it, it's a fleeting. It can be a very fleeting thing, as we know, but. You've got to take advantage of that when you've got it.
Our country looks so weak right now. Every country in the world watched how easy it was to breach our capital. And if we do not make a point out of this, I can't believe they didn't open fire on those people. But if okay, fine, whatever. If we're just going to be trying to do sedition or treason charges or whatever, Merrick Garland better be ready to breathe hellfire on these people, because we've got to send a message. We are weak now. Like, no one views us as strong. How do we spend $700 billion on the military every year and we can't protect our own capital? Well, that's another thing to talk about. The National Guard was told not to protect the Capitol by the president.
Yep.
And the state guards in Maryland and Virginia and the mayor of D.C. and the D.C. police force was given the sole responsibility of defending and protecting the U.S. Capitol, because our own State Department or our own Defense Department wouldn't or couldn't do it.
That's all Donald Trump.
It is weak.
Yeah.
And we can't, I mean.
It just looked terrible. It's shocking. Just shocking. It's, I don't know.
It's scary. We've all heard the, Banana Republic. Analogies a lot, but it really is.
We also are putting all of our own military people around the world at risk when they're out there promoting American values, promoting American commerce, promoting U.S. policy, and they're looking behind their shoulder. People are going to get killed outside of the U.S. because of what happened yesterday, because we look weak and people are going to take advantage of our weakness. And so all of us that support our military and the Republicans that go around with their flag waving, this is just not consistent with that, what happened yesterday. And I really do respect the Republicans who are unabashedly apologizing.
They walked in the Capitol, took a shit on Nancy Pelosi's desk, and then left to go to Starbucks. Are you kidding me right now?
They should have been shot. Every single one of them. I'm sorry.
I'm not sure I'm going to go with the shooting part, but they shouldn't have gotten that far, and they should have been arrested.
Yes.
I mean,
in mass.
If you were
arrested in mass, but I mean, if they would have had black or brown skin, they would have all been shot.
They would never have gotten that far, and B, would have been shot at some point.
They wouldn't have done it because they wouldn't have had that sense of privilege instilled in themselves that they can do that.
No, yeah, it's going to be okay. Incredible.
What kind of balls do you have to have to think you're not going to get shot?
And we say that they just let them in, like, because we saw them move the barricades. We've seen that video, but we've also seen the videos where they busted out the window and kicked the door in. Mm-hmm. So they seized the Capitol.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Those doors are very, very.
I'm sorry. That is not when I go into these government buildings. Like, I'm terrified. I don't. I'm not gonna graffiti a wall. Let alone kick a goddamn door in. I would expect to get shot if I were going to do something like that.
I walk in a government building and I feel a sense of awe.
Me too.
I feel a sense of reverence.
Right.
I feel fortunate to be in that place with whatever business that I have being there, whether I'm there as a tourist, whether I'm there to lobby for something. I don't care. It is a sense of awe and reverence to be in a public governmental building.
Right. When you walk in,
the very idea that you're going in there to wreck it really pisses me off.
I mean, just even imagine if that same action had happened at Dallas City Hall. Dallas City Hall, that place would have been shut down so quick your head would have spun. You would have had everybody. We would have had the security to take it. I just think it's just embarrassing.
It's not even Dallas City Hall. If you raided a high school football game to take the ref's whistle in Texas, you would have a much more swift police response than they did.
I agree with that, and now we are talking about some serious stuff.
I was just saying, it's just bonkers.
It was shocking. It was hard to watch. I think people are suffering after watching it. They don't know.
Oh, I was just so upset that night. Finally, when all the coverage was over, I just went outside, sat by my fire pit, and drank some port. I couldn't go to sleep. Yeah, I was just
a lot of people were
too
calling me.
Anxious, too angry, not sure what, if anything, I could or should do.
And these people are now defending it and making excuses for it, which you'd think that this would be the line. You always say that. How many times do we say that, right? But there's always this period of silence where none of the MAGA people are saying anything online. And you're like, oh, where is everybody? Because they're trying to find their talking points.
Right.
And then here they all come in. Right. It's Antifa dressed up as MAGA people. Or that, it to BLM as if, you know, busting windows, which no one condoned. No one said it was a good thing. And actually, a lot of Democrats were calling for those people to have charges pressed against them for burning and looting and things.
Yeah, the burning and looting. But
there's a difference between knocking a window and seizing an armed citizen seizing the United States Capitol after trying to kidnap the governor of Michigan. These are not the same.
Right, but I mean, they could have easily, as rapid as it went, they could have taken hostage and or murdered the third person in line for the presidency. They could have murdered Nancy Pelosi yesterday.
And they would have.
And they would have.
If they had seen her, she would have been in danger because
everyone
is so despised by so many of those people. They are.
I mean, they could have easily murdered Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi.
They'd have murdered half the Congress.
Right. And I'm just saying, what is it? What are we thinking? I mean, the people that I know that were on the Hill during it were like, the members are safe, but they were. There were young people under their desks crying and calling and texting people like me that were on group texts saying they're rattling the doors. They were terrorizing these people also.
Well, I was glad to see that the sergeants at arms, both the House, Senate, gone.
No, but I
Capitol Police Chief, gone.
I didn't hear that. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just the amount of money we spend to secure this country. I'm just...
What could we
Ted Cruz
for Ted Cruz? You know what would matter for somebody for the Texans like us and others? Something like a Southwest Airlines or American Airlines or the Dallas Mavericks or the Dallas Cowboys saying, you know what? We don't want to service that guy anymore. He's off our flight list.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Let's get business around the idea that Ted Cruz isn't welcome in this state.
Yeah.
He can live there as a citizen. He can try to be a little bit of a senator. But for business,
you're banned.
AT&T, all those companies that are here in Texas need to say, not on our watch. You do not represent us. What you did.
I love that idea.
Let's
That's
get them all to
idea.
Boycott them. This is like
that.
Simon and Schuster did with
Josh Hawley.
Hawley said, no more. Ted Cruz, you're off our list. He has been an embarrassment long enough.
We don't want your business.
Right.
We don't want you.
You want to come on? You go get a private company to fly you. You don't represent
Which
us.
He'd rather do anyway, but
you know. I'm probably our
But maybe he can't. Well, maybe it'll be harder for him to find somebody to fly him around also.
Right.
If he becomes enough of a pariah.
He really needs to have something taken away from him. An apology is not enough. To the citizens of this country.
He won't even give us an apology.
He's trash.
Complete trash.
He's just trash.
Well, before we continue talking, we need to work in an ad spot. So today's episode was brought to you by the Represent Texas PAC.
We love Represent
Texas. We've heard the Represent Texas pack. For too long, Texas has allowed spaces on the ballot to go uncontested, and Represent Texas is fighting to make sure that we are running quality Democrats in every seat in the state.
Just how many cities in Texas have more than 100,000 people?
40.
That no one shows up for.
No one shows up. And so this pack, Represent Texas, you may be familiar with the people that run it. They are very smart and ridiculously attractive.
Not so
smart. But they...
not so smart nor attractive, but go ahead.
Represent Texas.
But inspired.
Represent Texas is inspired. The fight that's going to try to move the needle in rural Texas to make sure not only that we make progress, but that we're able to actually flip the state of Texas and defeat Ken Paxton, Dan Patrick. Go to www.representtexaspac.org to contribute. You can give monthly, all those old monthly subscriptions you used to give that are canceled after the election. Sign them back up for Representative.
Sign them back up. Which reminds me, you know what also happened with this disgrace at the Capitol that the Republicans, all the Republicans, because I really do respect like a Mitt Romney right now. I really do. Mm-hmm. I really, really do. But these other folks, they took away all of our joy of celebrating our victories in Georgia. I mean, like this.
It's a good transition.
It was just like, yay, and then we didn't even get a chance to wake up and celebrate.
So let's celebrate for a second,
yay!
Guys.
Blink and gloat.
Yes.
To Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia on my mind.
So what you're referring to, the special election in Georgia for the United States Senate after November, the Senate was split 48 Democratic caucus members, 50 Republican caucus members. There were two seats that were still up because they have a different way of doing their elections in Georgia. And if the Democrats won them both, then they would have tied the Senate, allowing Kamala Harris to cast the deciding vote, giving Democrats the control of the chamber. And the Democrats swept those seats, defeating two incumbent Republicans in the Deep South.
I know.
It's
amazing.
It's just wonderful. I mean, everybody always says, you know, being vice president isn't so much fun. I think for Kamala Harris, it could be a whole lot of fun.
I love the idea of a black woman making that vote. Those sorry sacks of shit.
Well, what I'm afraid, like, I'm excited about that. I mean, again, black women came in and saved our asses, which has happened. That's been the mantra the last at least 4 years.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think what it means is that Joe Manchin now becomes the most powerful person in Washington.
Well, he's a Democrat.
Right. Joe Manchin is a Democrat from West Virginia, the most conservative member of the Democratic caucus. As liberal of a Democrat as you're going to get out of West Virginia, okay?
That's
Let's
right.
be fair to the guy. He won on a ballot when Trump won his state by 28 points.
I do not know how he walks that tightrope, but I am glad he does.
So you know, he's not perfect, but he now is the guy that if he doesn't want something passed, I mean, all he has to do is not do it, and it's not going to happen.
He's a reasonable guy.
I think so. And you know, if you think...
And after seeing this yesterday, he's also very much an American, and he cannot be pleased with what he saw yesterday.
My argument with Manchin, I know that everybody hates the guy.
I don't.
Every time that his vote mattered, so every time that it came down to it being
healthcare.
A tie, he has been there every time. Mm-hmm. He did some stuff like vote for Kavanaugh, but his vote was never the decider. Like, I think if it got to a point where his vote mattered about him getting appointed, he would have made the right choice. The guy falls whenever he needs to on our side. And so, I mean, he's now the guy that's running the show.
I don't
show.
Think he's going to throw anything, so we're not going to get our confirmations and things like that.
No,
right?
We'll get all the administration appointments now.
Well, we should, but I mean, I'm sure there's going to be something. A couple of them might cause some headache for some folks, but I think we should.
Well, and there is a discussion that maybe people like Bernie Sanders become the most powerful person in D.C. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong. Perhaps Sanders could refuse to support things if it's not progressive enough, and that would...
Well, he has not had as much power as they, in my belief, is that they have got to do better by him moving forward. He has not weighed in on very many things. He's been such a loyal soldier, he and his people. He has. He could have.
In this process, for sure.
In this process, election.
Yes. In this election.
In this election.
I'm just saying.
That has not always been the case, but in this election,
for this
yes.
time, he saw that the country was at risk. He saw that the election really was, I mean, people just all rallied around Joe Biden. And then he has, since that day, has done everything Joe Biden's asked. Yeah. Every single thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, he's been a very loyal lieutenant, and I think people have got to give him cred. I do think that he's going to get ready to speak out on some of these progressive, and should, because he represents a lot of people in this country. But we shall see.
So we won the seats in Georgia. Ossoff is now the youngest member of the Senate.
33 years old.
Uh-huh. And Warnock is the 11th African-American elected to the United States Senate.
Yeah, and first African-American.
From Georgia.
From Georgia. The 11th child of 12 children. Yeah. And pastor of the church that Martin Luther King, Ebenezer Church in Atlanta. And my little boy Andres went out there and knocked doors for about 12 days.
There was
pretty happy.
There was a big faction of the Texas Democratic Party that went
there.
That was exciting. That's a good pivot to the next point of conversation.
Why can't Texas beat Georgia?
Why can't Texas beat Georgia? And then also in the news, obviously I want to talk about it because I was in the middle of it all, but the Texas Democratic Party had a request from a large member of its SDEC, State Democratic Executive Committee members, requesting large reforms for the party. The chairman agreed to a lot of those reforms, and there's currently an audit committee that's evaluating the party to see where changes can be done. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I feel like we failed miserably, terribly. No one can put lipstick on a pig that it was on election day here in Texas. We somehow lit on fire hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. We had terrible polling. People weren't allowed to knock on doors, and we lost every seat.
Let's talk about...
And I don't think that you should try to act like something went well when it didn't, and I feel very strongly. I don't spend a lot of time and no longer donate to the Texas Democratic Party, and until it reforms, I won't, and I'll encourage other people not to donate until they change. Do not donate to the Texas Democratic Party until they change, because right now they're still in this deal that, hey, we're awesome. No, you're not. You're not
it
awesome.
It was very upsetting to me. It's one of the reasons I authored this letter. It was very upsetting to me to see after the election all of these memos and emails coming from the party about how great everything was, when at our core, all of us knew that things did not go the way we wanted them to. Like, things did not go well.
Yeah.
We set expectations for ourselves that we did not meet, and no one is being held accountable for that. The fact that Sherry Bustos got kicked out of the DCCC, but Celia Israel is still the head of the HDCC, where we didn't flip a single seat. I mean, like, it's no one's
she
holding
didn't get
her
kicked out. She left herself.
Celia did.
No.
Sherry. Well, of course she left herself.
No, I'm just saying, she knew the...
She's gone, is my point. But writing on the wall, you see that there's a problem. But no one in Texas is taking responsibility, is my point. You don't see any change in leadership at the party. You don't see it in any of the allied groups. You don't see it at the head of the HDCC. Mm-hmm. No one is being held accountable for how bad the ball was dropped.
Right. But part of the ball was dropped because everybody's in charge and nobody's in charge, and therefore we groupthink. We do tons of things wrong, but also we were told not to knock on doors.
Who said not to knock on doors?
Well, that was a pandemic.
I understand that part of it, but I mean, was this a national Democratic thing? Or
that came from the national.
To the Texas Democratic Party, and we should have told them to stop off.
And you know, Gilberto Hinojosa, chairman of the State Democratic Party, who's been on our podcast before, I spoke with him at length about that, and he said that he had arguments with Tom Perez about it. Mm-hmm. Like, they were on the phone fighting about it. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I mean,
we should have just done what we knew was
you
bad.
Just need to just do it. And so it's a concern that...
Would that have made a difference in the Valley, which, of course, was the biggest disappointment to me?
I think it would have made a difference all over the state. And we lost a couple of races on Brandy Chambers right here in north of Dallas, east of Dallas, only less than 200 votes.
She performed better than 2018. One of the only candidates that did perform better than 2018, but she still wasn't able to pull it across.
Yeah, just thinking, knocking on doors would have mattered in those races. When you look at, you know, just hearing from my son, who I believe, because he's came back from Georgia and told me how they did their door knocking program, and how calculated it was. They they won because they knocked on doors, hundreds of thousands of them since that period. And I don't think anybody would ever disagree with that. That's how they won.
The problem with the party in Texas is that we don't learn from mistakes. And we continue to do stupid shit like... Okay, so let's talk about these pollsters. The pollsters missed some of these races by 15 points. Which, I mean, will out the guillotines, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's ridiculous. But then what happened 2 months later? The pollsters come out in Georgia. They say we're going to win by 9 points. Well, guess what? They missed it by 8 points.
Yeah.
How did you miss it that bad just 2 months ago and you still haven't figured out how to adjust or find a way to stop oversampling Democrats in your freaking polls? I mean, like, I will never recommend for a candidate to spend a dime on polls right now. I mean, this is just bonkers.
Not until they work it out. Yeah. They're so far.
And they talk about, you know, cell phones versus landlines and all that. Well, yeah, that's a problem. So find the solution if you want to stay in business as a pollster.
Right.
The TDP was bragging about its data team the whole time, how they built their own data scores that were ridiculously off. All of our metrics showed us that we should have been flipping tons of seats if all that data and metrics that the party put forth were accurate. They weren't. And now they're using the exact same data to recruit candidates for municipals and school boards. They're texting people that are Republicans asking them to run for school boards seats.
I got a text today saying, are you located in Collin County? Would you run for an office? And I'm like, well, I'm a Democrat, so... No, I'm not going to. Thank you. But, I mean, I'm not sure that my neighbor didn't get one of these, too. That's a Republican. I don't know.
Well, and they aren't even talking to county chairs that they're doing it. Like, in some of these small counties, you may have Democrat city council members and school board members that aren't telling everyone they're Democrats. And you're recruiting people to run against them. Yeah. Like, work with your local leaders. Like, why are our party just, they're missing it. They're missing it, man.
The problem with the Texas Democratic Party is Austin.
Yeah.
People that come in, it's a flat, Austin is a speck in Texas that's not representative of anything.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody loves Austin. I love Austin. But it's all groupthink there.
Mm-hmm.
And everything we talk about in Texas is outside of Austin. We got Austin. Austin's blue.
Yeah.
We need to work on everything around it, and I think that's part of it. And all the ally groups are there. All the money, not all the money people. The money people are here in Dallas and in Houston, and other places, but mostly Dallas and Houston. But the group thing comes from Austin. They need to just split those groups up. Till you get out of Austin, you don't get any power.
You know, maybe they ought to make their headquarters in Midland,
right,
or someplace like
Tyler,
that.
Terrell,
Tyler, someplace where you do get out of that Austin group thing, and maybe even out of the big city group thing.
Well, that was one of the requests. That was one of the requests in the letter, was to explore moving the office out of Austin. And the chairman was very open to that. I'll say the chairman's been very responsive. I will say it's been almost 45 days and he hasn't delivered on any of the things he told us he'd give us. But
we had the holidays in between.
I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt there.
But I also think it's not just the party that's going to be able to solve our problem here in Texas. Everybody in these 40 towns with 100,000 people, we've got to get leaders that think it's going to be grassroots. I don't think the Texas Democratic Party is going to be why we change Texas. It's going to be because activists like ourselves and others are going to try to help.
Well, right. I don't think that we're expecting the party to fix all the problems, but what we are expecting is for the party to turn out Democrats so that our candidates can spend their time persuading.
Yeah.
And they don't do that right now. So our candidates are stuck between how do you do your messaging? You're having to message to your base to turn them out because the party isn't strong enough to do it for you. And you don't get to reach out and build the party and convince people to vote for you because you're so busy trying to turn your own people out.
Yeah.
Our party's got to get stronger for us to be able to make inroads.
I think there'll be some lessons learned from Arizona and Georgia, and maybe, I mean, Texas is still needing
to work. Well, Stacey Abrams, please write a manual.
I think she has. I think she wants to. It's just her... having that big of an African-American population in Georgia is a heck of a lot different than our African-American population here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're just such a complicated state, man. We're just, the Valley is just its own world, and I think we need better work in this conversation. I think he could help a lot, but
he got us as close as I think we'll ever get until we get to the meat of this. But but we got to get all the old time consultants out of the state. We got to look at it fresh and new, because it's the Kindles generation that's going to get us there. It's not people that were, you know, working on candidacies 45 years ago.
Speaking of my generation, let's talk about another extremely pressing issue.
Yes.
That's running rampant on the social media.
You seen us?
No. Actually, Kim and Kanye have split.
Oh, that made me almost as sad as the looting of the Capitol.
I know. Are y'all going to make it? A rumor has started that Jeffree Star, a beauty icon, has had the affair with Kanye to cause that to happen. He's a male, and so it's a real controversial thing.
I can't tell you that I have paid any attention to it or give one hot damn about it. But, you know.
I'm just trying to, you know, talk about the pressing issues of the day.
I know, and maybe we'll study up on it.
Okay. And then lastly, I think we should talk about the Texas legislature is banging the gavel and convening next week.
They're in person, then. They finally went in person.
They'll start in person and then have to pass rules, mm-hmm. and that may allow. There's a lot of confusion around what's even going to be able to happen this time. The presumptive new speaker, Dade Phelan, is...
What's his name all about?
Dade. I don't know how anybody could vote for someone named Dade.
What does that mean?
No offense to any of you PBT listeners named Dade.
I don't like the guy based on his name. I don't know anything about him. I'm just kidding.
Where's he from?
He's a Republican. He's, right?
He's Southeast Texas. Southeast. And you know, he...
Houston area or...
You're
smaller.
You're looking. I think you're closer to like the Beaumont area. Okay. Like, but it's going to be a little more west of Beaumont. So his district.
I don't really like the part of that state, so I don't care.
Okay, well. That,
just kidding.
There's a lot of confusion right now. No one knows what's going to happen with redistricting. They're not sure what priorities are going to be. So
aren't they going to need a little money to run this state?
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a huge financial problem because our oil revenues are down, and then coronavirus put a big dent in the budget. And so, and they passed unfunded education bill last time.
Amazing. They're back to that. That's one of their favorite tricks.
That's a favorite.
So we've got to find a way to fund it. And that's where I think casinos and marijuana may come in.
So Sheldon, our guy from Las Vegas.
He is not our guy.
He's not our guy. He's a Republican.
He's an awful Trump Republican.
No, I'm saying he's an awful Trump Republican, but he's here to save the state of Texas because he sniffs out opportunity and knows the state doesn't have a pot to piss in. So he's going to come in here and finally get his casinos.
Get some casinos.
Like. People are fighting for casinos and pot, which I'm here for both of them, frankly. I don't
know. It'll be interesting. I just love it how all these terrible vices go away when you're out of money and mm-hmm. the right guy comes in, because people have been trying to do this for like 30 years.
And so Drew Springer won the special Senate election, beat Shelley Luther. That's good news.
That was a good thing.
Which I would never think I'd say it's good news for Drew Springer to win, but here we are.
Well, beat Shelley Luther.
Right. And so now they're having a special election to fill Drew Springer's seat. There is one Democrat in that race. We will keep you posted as that race unfolds.
When's that election again?
I don't think they may have set a date, and I just don't know yet. Mm-hmm. What else do you want to talk about, Dottie, before we wrap up? You got anything for us?
Any recipes you want to talk about? You made some brisket today.
Oh, I did. We're going to have brisket tacos as soon as this. We're going to go out by the fire pit and maybe have some libations and some brisket tacos and solve all the problems of the world that we didn't solve on this podcast.
Which I think we solved most of them, guys.
But anyway, this brisket
was great. We
didn't
solve the Kanye situation.
And it's because it's made with a braising sauce that's just full of dried chilies and blistered green chilies and lots of garlic. Your guys are going to say best brisket ever.
Wow.
Okay.
I haven't had any brisket
in a while. We probably should have tried it here, like on the show.
I'll come back. Okay. If y'all really like that brisket, I'll come back.
Dottie Griffin, one of our favorite people in America. We appreciate you and for coming on and hanging out with us. If people wanted to follow you, your musings, your work, where would they go to do that?
Well, I am at I'm a regular writer for Katie Trail Weekly.
Oh, you still are doing that.
I still am doing that, and then I'm at Dottie Griffith, so.
Okay, at Dottie Griffith. We're losing a light.
Oh, no! I guess the show's over, huh? Yes.
How about you, Lillian?
You can follow me through Podbless Texas, or I still am on the Twitter feed, Lillian_Salerno.
Okay.
That's it. How about you,
Kendall? People want to follow me, they can follow me on all the socials at Kendall Scudder. I even have Kendall Scudder reserved on Parler, though I am not on it.
Oh, can we? We were going to talk about TikTok really quickly.
Okay.
I forgot. During the holidays, I realized that if you don't know something about TikTok, people like ridicule you and they ask you things, and you really, it's almost like a different language. So tell us the top two or three TikTok celebs this week. Who people should follow.
Well, the D'Amelios are always the top on TikTok right now. D'Amelios. There's this whole like thing of TikTok celebrities, and they're like all children, right? Who are just do their little dances.
Just the boy bands, the boy bands, and
well, they're like little teenage girls mostly who do their little dances, and all the other little teenagers follow them and mimic their dances.
So, is there any like intellectual anything about TikTok?
There's a bunch of different spaces, okay. You know, and like it just the
so
more.
So maybe like every week you just give us like the top two.
Or maybe I could do some of the things with you and then put them on my TikTok.
Yeah, you can talk. No.
Yeah.
We'll do that like a dance? No, there's no dancing for. There's no world where I'm gonna dance.
Yeah, I want to see you two floss.
Floss.
Flossing's a little old, guys.
That's as good as I can get for TikTok.
Even my grandson, he said, "Do you TikTok?" And I'm like,
"Yeah, it's a thing."
I know, I'm like, no, I don't.
Yeah, they have all these. They have all these things where, like, they'll have you text lyrics of a song to someone randomly in your phone, like one line at a time, and like see how long it takes them to realize that you're texting them a song, and like they'll try to have conversations with you about that. Like little things like that. I love TikTok. I think it's funny.
You think it's great. I mean, it just like I think until you get into it, you're not into it.
I send you TikToks all the time, and you don't watch it.
I ignore, but I'm trying to be more updated.
No, you're not.
Okay. Anyway,
well, this has been fun. As you can tell, we changed our format a little bit. Yeah. We'll do Obsessed periodically, but this just makes life a little bit more enjoyable for us. So this is how we're gonna do it. If you got problems with it, I guess at me on Twitter.
At me. All right. Well, we're so happy that you joined us, and join us again next week, and be safe out there and have a blessed
week. It's been fun. Thanks for having me.